San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, April 21st, 2024. Today's lesson is Walking the Talk with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Corr. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's just anchor right in. There's one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation, and we call this God, the living spirit almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. Yeah, so here we are, April 21st. You know what tomorrow is? Earth Day. And you know what yesterday was? Earth Fest down in Balboa Park. And we have come to the conclusion that today there is some great Earth Day thing going on around because parking is at a premium. So, today, this is 2024, and we are building conscious community. And it just makes sense that our conscious community is consciously aware of the earth. The earth. How do I know? Every Sunday when I say there's one power, one presence, how do I know that? I was thinking about that, and I thought, How do I know that I'm part of the universe? I'm part of the same energy. So I got to thinking, and in science, to do a proof, you usually start with, if I can prove this for one, and I can prove this for n, and I can prove this for n plus one, then it's true. Mathematically. Well, I started the other way, and I thought, the universe exists. How do I know that the universe exists? Because it's energy, and it had to come from somewhere. So it was created as energy. So the entire universe is energy. And what's inside of that energy? Bunch of galaxies. And they are energy. And within each galaxy, there's a bunch of solar systems. And they are energy. And in each solar system, there's a bunch of planets. And they are energy. Energy is alive. In our solar system, our sun is energy, all the planets are energy, and Earth is energy. And on this Earth, which is a living thing, a living idea, a living consciousness, there's us crawling all over the Earth like a bunch of ants. So here we are. Conscious beings on a conscious planet. And we are one. And so it makes sense that as we, in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit, care for ourselves and others, that we also care for our home, which is this Earth, this solar system, this galaxy, this universe, as part of this creation. Does that count for proving one and proving n and proving n plus one? Well, I didn't write it down on paper with formula. But, yeah, since I'm the one that came up with it, I'm going to say, yeah, that proves it. Proves it for me. Proves it for my belief. If that's what I believe, that's what I know, then that is my truth. I can act as if it is true. And in this month of April, that's what we are doing. We have a theme of act as if. The Bible tells us, ask in faith, believing, and it is done to you as you believe. It is done to you, it is done for you, it is done as you believe. So what's a belief? Well, Ernest Holmes is the founder of religious science and the author of the New Thought, author of the Science of Mind textbook, right here. And in his wisdom, he has a glossary at the back of the book defining terms. So here's what he says about belief. Conviction or feeling of the truth of a proposition or condition. Belief may go no farther than the intellectual assent, while faith embodies a trust and confidence. Belief admits of all degrees, from the slightest suspicion to the fullest assurance. Meaning, if I have doubt, then I do not believe in the fullest assurance. If I believe in the fullest assurance, boy, I'm just tripping over faith right there. It is faith. Faith that all is as I believe it is. If I say it must be true, then it must be true for me. If you say it must be true, then it must be true for you. So I have two questions about that. You do not have to answer, you do not have to hold up your hands. First question is, what are you saying? Because you're saying what you believe. And the second question is, what are you doing? Because you're doing what you believe. Yeah, take a deep breath on that. We're not holding up hands. We're just simply asking ourselves questions, things that we can think about. And we want to act as if until we become. Act as if. What that concept means is that when you act as if you're successful, you become successful. In other words, when you act as if and play the part of a successful person or whatever you desire in life, the law of attraction conspires to make it so. It's the cause and effect of the universe. I said that before. The law of attraction is the cause and the effect of the universe. Everything you think about, everything you believe in, and all that you act upon becomes your experience in life. Your life takes on the qualities of your thoughts, your beliefs, and your actions. And so, this morning, we are continuing to act as if we know what we're doing. Okay? You with me on that? Okay, yeah, we're all acting as if we know what we're doing. And we do, to a certain extent, know what we're doing. We're aware of what we're doing. And we're going to take action on our thoughts and beliefs by putting things into practice. We're going to put into practice our science of mind philosophy and teaching. And that's why we call this practical spirituality. Science of mind is practical spirituality. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And in this human experience, we get the opportunity to act as if We have the divine right to be happy, healthy, prosperous, and creative spiritual beings. Why do we get to act like we are those? Well, because we are those. Right? Right. So today's lesson is walking the talk. Not just talking the talk. It's easy to talk about this philosophy. It's easy to spout the principles. But one of the things that Ernest Holmes said was that he would rather than have thousands of people regurgitating what he wrote without any heart or soul in it, he would rather have one person practicing the principles. Because that one person practicing the principles is proving the principles and is an example to others that these principles work. Makes sense. Do I want all the chatter all over the world? Do I care about the chatter? No. People say all kinds of stuff. They can say whatever they want. Whatever anybody says does not make it true. What I say to you from up here does not make it true. What it does is it gives you an opening to prove it for yourself. It gives you an opening to see how are these things working out in her life, in the lives of others, in your own life. What is going on? Are these principles true? Well, like electricity and like gravity, of course they are. Don't take my word for it. Practice, practice, practice. It takes spiritual devotion and a conscious decision to walk this journey of fulfillment and success. And it's important to walk in faith, confidence, and trust in the one power and the one presence that makes all things possible. I have a story I want to share with you. When I first heard this story, I was in a church and I was sitting in the back and I was giggling. Because I had never heard the story before. And then I started kind of chuckling. Then I was just outright laughing and trying to cover my mouth and, you know, not make a lot of noise to disturb what was going on. Well, in truth, the reason I was in the back was because it was our church, our Center for Spiritual Living, our San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, and Reverend John Pileski was sharing the story. I just want, as an aside, he didn't go over his talk with me or practice it in front of me before he delivered it. I was just as surprised as everybody by what came up on Sunday mornings. And so that was such a blessing. It was such a blessing. So here's the story. Okay, ready? Some of you may have heard this before. Noble, I think you have. And it is fitting that I'm sharing this story on Earth Day weekend. There was an elderly woman who was taking a nice long walk in nature, and it looked like she was truly enjoying her way through the countryside. Each time she came to a crossroads, she would toss a stick up in the air. Whichever way the stick came down was the direction she went. At one intersection, however, an old man saw her toss the stick into the air not once, not twice, but three times before resuming her journey. The old man was curious. He said, "Why are you throwing your stick like that?" She replied, "I'm letting God direct my journey by using this here stick." "Then why did you throw it three times?" asked the old man. "Because," she said, "the first two times, he was pointing me in the wrong direction. Sometimes we are reluctant to allow Spirit to guide us through the twists and the turns in life. We think we know better than the infinite intelligence that resides within us. Well, we can keep tossing that stick, and we can toss it and toss it until it happens to land the way we want to go. And then we're on the path that maybe wasn't the wisest, but it's still our path. So we are following this path wherever it leads us. One thing I have learned is that most paths circle back around somehow. And so if we think we're off on this path and we're going left and then we're going right and it seems random, what we are doing in our lives is we are moving forward, and as we grow, we run into something that looks very much like a condition or a symptom that we've experienced before. And we go, wait a minute, I already dealt with this. I've been walking the talk. I've been doing my work. But what we don't realize is we have done it so well. We have grown so much that now we can deal with this same situation at a deeper level. We can pull more of the roots of that weed out of our garden. Dr. H.B. Jeffrey was a colleague of Emma Curtis Hopkins, and he wrote a book. It's all about new thought. And here's something that he wrote within his book. If kindness is a characteristic of God, then human beings made in the image and likeness of God, and thus partakers of this divine nature, must also be inherently kind and gentle. God is spirit, and we, his offspring, are therefore spiritual beings possessed of spiritual attributes. The fruits of the Spirit are within us. They're already there. We get to tap into them or not based on our consciousness and our practice. How we walk our talk is unique to all of us. Reverend Dr. Elizabeth Ann Morgan had a few tips for us. She said, sharing a smile with the elderly, untangling a grocery cart from the stack for someone's grandmother, treating a homeless person with respect and perhaps a contribution to his or her well-being, saluting the Christ in the president and the opposing politicians are opportunities available to all at little cost. Recognizing all who are strange and foreign to us as opportunities to interact with the divine, to give and receive God's love, to bear witness in his holy name, sanctifies our efforts. Walking the talk doesn't have to be hard, doesn't have to be concentrated on, focused on in a deep way. Okay, today I'm going to walk my talk. What was my talk? So I'm going to do everything I say that I'm going to do. And when I get in this deep concentration, I get furrows over my brow. That's not walking the talk. The talk is living with ease as a spiritual being. Norman Cousins was a Saturday Evening Post editor for over 30 years, and he was a committed optimist. He said, "Optimism doesn't wait on facts. It deals with prospects. Pessimism is a waste of time. Optimism deals with prospects. What are we dealing with when we decide we're going to walk our talk? What are we dealing with in this energy that is here? We're dealing with a power for good in the universe that's greater than we are, and we get to use it. That should lift us up, make us feel good. Everything we want is available to us as long as it harms no one else. So we're dealing with prospects. We're dealing with infinite possibilities. We're dealing with all the good that there is to experience here and now and tomorrow and the next day and for all of eternity. Reverend Dr. Durrell Watkins said, when we consider that we are one with God, that life has no end, and that we have the power to choose our thoughts, which shape our attitudes, which influence how we experience life, then joy comes naturally. And when we have joy, we are experiencing life more abundantly. We are experiencing life more abundantly. We are walking the talk together in this magnificent experience we call life. I was listening to some music and I wrote down this line. And I should have written down what song it came from, but it hit me. And it was, every little movement has a meaning all its own. I think it was from some song in Chicago or all that jazz or, you know, something. But every little movement has a meaning all its own. When I'm standing up here and I hold my hand like this, it's because I'm making a particular point. When I put my hands like this, I'm being expansive. When we're singing and I'm kind of bebopping around, that's my joy bubbling over. Every little movement has a meaning all its own. And so when you are walking your talk, every step you take is a step toward love and joy and peace and prosperity and abundance and everything, all good. Every little movement, every smile has a meaning all its own. Every leaning back and closing your eyes and letting out your breath has a meaning all its own. Now, Earth Day, I mentioned earlier, Earth Day is tomorrow. It's going to be the 54th annual Earth Day because it was started on April 22nd in 1970. So in San Diego, In San Diego, we've been having it for a good long time, 30 some odd years. Now, I took the number out of my talk because I realized during COVID they didn't have it. So I can't say, and it's been going on for this many years down in Balboa Park. But we do have a huge Earth Fest in Balboa Park now, again, every year. And the purpose of this Earth Fest is to educate and practice. What do we do in Science of Mind? We educate and practice. We teach and we heal. So at Earth Fest, they're teaching and practicing recycling, planting organic crops, energy-saving concepts, alternative energy methods, and their main focus is to remind everyone to walk the talk and be good stewards of this blue and green sphere that's floating in the universe that some people call Spaceship Earth. Spaceship Earth. What can we do as far as walking our talk? Well, we become whatever we're committed to. So we can look to the wisdom of nature and follow her guidance. Have you ever seen nature make a mistake? Nope. Nope. Remember I spoke about intention, attention, manifestation? That's our divine creative process. And nature, Mother Earth, the universe, all of the planets, they all use the same divine creative process. George Washington Carver was a scientist, a botanist, and an inventor. He was an amazing man. I mean, the man's mind and his connection with divine inspiration was magnificent. It was magnificent. When I read about him, I read his biography, and I read it like 3 times. I get a lot out of every book. I don't need to read it 3 times. I read it 3 times because it moved me so deeply. He said, "I love to think of nature as an unlimited broadcasting station through which God speaks to us every hour, if we will only tune in." If we will only tune in. Now, nature is consistently in divine timing, and everything is always in divine right order, right? Because it's all divine. It's all divine energy. How could it be anything else? Couldn't. Ernest Holmes said, "God's world is perfect, and this is principle we have to demonstrate. Let us do our work conscientiously and thoroughly and leave the results to the law, which is perfect." What he's saying is our thoughts are things. We perfectly put out our thoughts and allow the law to work, to create. I remember telling you that everything's created twice. It's created in mind, in the invisible, and then it's created from the invisible to the visible. So what Ernest is talking about is the invisible. Create it in your mind, in the invisible, and allow the law, allow the universe to manifest it from the invisible to the visible. Lao Tzu said, "Nature does not hurry, yet everything is accomplished." Nature does not hurry, yet everything is accomplished. Can we teach that to every kindergartner? And make them repeat it every year as they grow through school, every kid. Nature does not hurry, yet everything is accomplished. Maybe we should teach it to the teachers. And Emerson said, "Adopt the pace of nature, for her secret is patience." Adopt the pace of nature, for her secret is patience. My flower that bloomed, that I was telling Mark earlier, it sits in a pot that is so old that it cracked, and so I sat it in another pot that is so old that it cracked, so I sat it in another pot, and now they're all stuck together. I can't get it out. So the pot set that it's in is about 18 inches, and then there's this plant on the top. I didn't know what it was. I knew it had been a gift, so I couldn't throw it away. And it'd been so long since it bloomed, I didn't know what was going to bloom, if ever. So about 3 years or so ago, it bloomed. And that is some kind of a, it's a lily. My daughter has a favorite lily, is a stargazer lily. I'm not sure that's a stargazer, but it looks like the stargazer lily. So it bloomed, and then last year it bloomed again, and this year it bloomed again. That's it. That's the bloom. That long stalk with the two flowers. And then it becomes just those green fronds sticking out of my, three broken pots. But it's so beautiful. Nature does that. Nature did not require me to transplant it and put it in a new pretty pot to sit on my deck and say, "Oh, isn't that beautiful?" No, it said, "Connie, go ahead. Put me in a fourth broken pot. Set all the pots on top. As long as I don't tip over, I'm blooming." Are you ready to align with and tune into your own divine nature? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Okay. Are you willing to walk the talk of wholeness, of perfection, and listen to that divine guidance that dwells within you? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Good. Your correct answer was yes.
Yes.
So please place your hand over your heart. Today,
Today,
I am in alignment,
I am in alignment
with the nature of my being.
With the nature of my being.
I walk the talk,
I walk the talk
as I respect and honor,
as I respect and honor
my environment and myself.
My environment and myself.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so breathe. Just breathe. Take those words that you have just spoken deep into your heart and know that the law of mind takes the impress of your thoughts and acts upon it. This planet was created and offered to us by the divine creator of life itself, and you and I have the spiritual responsibility to take stewardship of this earth in whatever ways we can. Ernest Holmes, in his Science of Mind textbook, he wrote on page 42, "The divine incarnation is inherent in our nature. We are immersed in an infinite knowingness. The question is, how much of this reality are we going to express in our own lives? The direct approach is always the best and the most effective. Insofar as any man has spoken the truth, he has proclaimed God. It matters not what his particular approach may have been. The scientist and the philosopher, the priest and the professor, the humanitarian and the empire builder, all have caught some gleam of the eternal glory, and each has spoken in his own tongue that language which is of itself universal." Doesn't matter where we come from. When we speak the truth, it's because there is the divine within us. He writes, "Let's do away with a ponderosity of thought and approach the thing simply and quietly." That's for me. That's for me, simply and quietly. It is the nature of the universe to give us what we are able to take. It cannot give us more. It has given all. We have not yet accepted the greater gift. Spiritual wisdom says that God manifests through everything and is incarnated in all men. that all is divinity and that nature herself is the body of God. The mechanical laws of nature are set and immutable, but the spontaneous recognition of these laws gives us the power to bring them into practical use in everyday life and experience. That's a long sentence. Let me repeat that. The mechanical laws of nature are set and immutable, meaning the principles don't change. But the spontaneous recognition of these laws gives us the power to bring them into practical use in everyday life and experience. Once we understand that the principles exist and don't change, and they're there for everybody to use, once we become aware that we are part of that everybody, then we can use these principles. We can use this power. We can put it in practical use in our everyday life and experience. I count on gravity. When I'm at the top of the stairs and I want something downstairs, I look at, well, let's see, do I want to walk downstairs carrying it? Or is it something that will bounce? And so when it's my slippers, I stand at the top and I just kind of toss one, watch it bounce, see where it lands. Toss another one, watch it bounce, see where it lands. Almost every time, one of the shoes or the slippers lands on the landing and the other one bounces off the landing onto the wood floor. And it's fun. It's fun to do that. I'm making use of gravity. We can make use of all the spiritual principles with the same fun, with the same joy as me tossing my slippers down the staircase. Walking the talk. Living the truth. Being a part of this conscious community. It's who we are. It's what we do. So I thank you for the opportunity for me to stand up here and act as if I am wise and talented and loving and giving and all kinds of good things, happy and joyful. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to act as if I am all these things, because I believe I am. Works for me. What you believe about you works for you. And if it isn't, think a new thought. Thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.